Welcome to Hyperlocal, the podcast inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions with local solutions and global perspectives. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, and let's get into it. Joining me today is Belinda Wick Graham, a trailblazer and an award-winning economic developer. As the Director of Economic and Community Development for the Town of Minto, and as past president of the Economic Developers Council of Ontario, Belinda's passion for investment attraction, business development, and downtown revitalization has earned the town of Minto many different awards, including the Business Attraction and Retention Award from the Economic Developers Council of Ontario, the Award of Excellence in Business Retention, Recruitment, and Expansion from the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, and the Marketing Canada Award by the Economic Developers Association of Canada. Her innovative work in Minto has been recognized across the country and continues to transform the town into a vibrant hub for growth and opportunity. In this episode, we're going to explore many different things, including the award-winning Move to Minto campaign, tackling challenges with absentee landlords to strengthen local economies, getting back to the basics and using practical approaches to community development, the Tour the Town initiative, the Pitch It business competition, leveraging community improvement plans, and the rob and duplicate strategy and adopting proven ideas for local success. Let's get into it. Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I'm not sure if you wanted to say hello before we get started.
Yes. Hi, Mason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I know we had a little bit of a chat earlier, just kind of laying out how the podcast is going to go and such, but I figured we'd hop right into some questions.
Sounds great.
So the first question is more just to kind of learn a bit more about you for those who might not know. I'm sure, honestly, a lot of people listening probably do. If they've been in economic development at all, they've probably heard your name or have seen you speak on a few different occasions. But just maybe a little bit about your personal story. I know you've worked in the town of Minto for quite a while, and you've had leadership with the Economic Development Council of Ontario, and you've made a significant impact in different areas. And I'm curious, you know, what sparked your passion originally for economic development, and how did this, you know, journey that you've been on over the years lead you to champion some small town growth?
Sure. So yeah, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Belinda Wick Graham, and I'm the Director of Economic and Community Development here in the town of Minto. And as you mentioned, Mason, yeah, I've been here for 20 years this October. So time definitely flies when you're having fun. Just a bit of background that's kind of interesting for me is I am originally from Minto. I was born and raised here, went away like many youth do that live in rural communities, going to get out of the small town, went away to Brock University in the city of St. Catharines and studied tourism administration. And I knew when I went away to school that I wanted to be involved in economic development tourism at the local municipal level. I often got questions of like, oh, you want to be a travel agent or a tour operator? But nope, that's not what I wanted to do. And while I worked at the city of St. Catharines, or while I went to school there, I got the opportunity to work for the city of St. Catharines in the Economic Development Tourism Department. And funny story was, many people will know Brock Dickinson, and Brock was actually the director at the time. So that was kind of interesting. Little did I know then who I had the pleasure of working for. But yeah, so went there, studied tourism, as I said. And then in the summers, I had the opportunity to come home and work for the Mount Forest Chamber of Commerce. So that was kind of like my first try working in economic development at a local level, and I really enjoyed it. So fast forward to graduation. It's so crazy. At the time I was graduating, there was a posting down there for the town of Minto hiring a tourism coordinator. So kind of crazy that that's what I'm going to school for, and my small town of 8,000 people at the time is hiring a tourism person. So funny enough, I applied. It was only supposed to be a summer job, but they were exploring the opportunity to hire an economic development person. I did put in my name and was very fortunate with no experience to be hired for the position. And yeah, I've been there ever since. So I guess like some people find out when they go away and move to cities and get that experience, it is always nice to have your small town call you home. And I feel it was a calling to go away, take that course, get that experience, and be able to come back home and implement what I've learned.
I love that. And don't undercut yourself. You definitely had the experience, you learned in class, and you also worked in St. Catharines with, I didn't know you realized you worked with Brock. That's amazing. So what a small world in the economic development realm.
Yeah, like I said, I had no idea who he was then, but it's pretty cool that he's an important guy now.
Absolutely. And I love that you've taken the time to go back in the day 20 years ago and go back to where you grew up. I think that's really special. And that opportunity to give back to the community that's given so much to you when you're growing up, I think that is amazing. So thank you so much for that. Just jumping to a bit more on the local side of your local community, I know that through your role, you're driving a lot of process or progress in a rural community. And I was wondering if you could share a bit about your recent award. You folks got an award, I believe, from the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, the Award of Excellence in Business Retention, Recruitment, and Expansion for your campaign, which was the Move to Minto Business Attraction Campaign. And I was just curious if you could touch a little bit on it about, how you think it's transforming your local economy or your community, and then throughout the process, what made that program successful and got you to be an award-winning economic developer?
Yeah, sure. So we're really, really proud of our Move to Minto business campaign. Not to toot our horn, but not only did we win the OBO awards, we also won EDCO and EDAC awards for various elements of the Move to Minto campaign. So I guess to back up a little bit, we had applied for RED funding and were able to do a Move to Minto resident attraction campaign that was quite successful. So we decided to apply for the RED funding again to do a business-specific attraction campaign. And one of the keys I always say to economic development is partnerships. And so we were able to leverage our partners to get some funding to do this campaign. And it wasn't expensive. It was about $40,000 spread out over 2 years. But we had key partners like the County of Wellington, Saugeen Economic Development Corporation, our Minto Chamber of Commerce, and of course, the Town of Minto were all key partners. But one of the best things, I guess, about this program was we had taken stuff that we had done like years ago when we were really struggling in our downtowns, like in 2008 to 10, things were really bad here. And we had done some programs then that we had some success with. So much success that our storefronts filled up and things were going really well that we didn't have to do some of those things. But coming out of COVID, we did see increasing vacancies and a need to get back to really hardcore attraction efforts. So we brought back one of our successful programs from back in the day called Tour the Town. And it was a really fun program that we partnered with all of our property owners and businesses that were for sale downtown. And for one day in the spring, we had like an open house so people could tour the different opportunities that were available, as well as meet with key resource people like our small business centers, the CFDCs, ourselves, et cetera, just to kind of see what Minto and having a business here was all about. But leading up to that, we worked with a local interior designer, as well as taken data of like what we needed in our community. So like what were the gaps and what could be supported here. Worked with the property owner to identify what would work in their property, and then had the designer do up some renderings of what the space could look like, and then covered those vacant windows with those opportunities and QR codes to drive traffic to the site. Paired it with some great video and a website and storytelling and all this great stuff, all to drive people to the site and hear about this tour of the town. So before we even like got to tour the town, people were seeing the window renderings and the videos, and we're reaching out ahead of time. So before we even did the tour of the town, we had some vacancies filled and some really cool success stories that a year later, the businesses are celebrating their 1 year anniversary. So just like to shout out a couple of them is May's Cafe in downtown Harrison in the Old Post, and Dulce Heaven, just recently rebranded to be Dulce Heaven Cookies and Cones. So two really great businesses that we've attracted through that program that opened up and are now celebrating 1 year. But anyway, super successful program. We ended up then having the tour, and one of the other things we did that day was partner with the Peel Newcomer Center and brought a bus of newcomers who were entrepreneurs looking at rural opportunities to the community as well, just to see the space. We had really great feedback from them as well. Although nothing panned out, it was a really good opportunity for them to kind of see outside of the GTA and what we offered here and what supports. And they were really pleased to hear what we were offering. So in the end, over 50% of the properties that we had listed ended up being rented out. So it was a really successful program, and definitely would encourage people to like reach out, rob and duplicate, and implement them in your community as well.
That's incredible. And I think what a cool idea, and bringing different folks together. And also, I'm big on storytelling. I think that's I'm a big visual person, and so when I talking about an idea, I like to jot it down or to see it out. And I think that if I was looking to invest in a business and I went to a community like yours and I saw on the wall like, hey, like this is possible and here's what it would look like, and these folks are willing to help us come to their community and to invest and be successful. I think that's so great. And especially for, I know you mentioned newcomers and folks who are coming to the area and who are looking at that. Hey, I've come to a new country and I'm looking to, I'm an entrepreneur already and I want to bring my business and my family here. And taking them and saying, hey, like here is the art of the possible, and showing them, because there's a lot of folks who sometimes they're not sure if something is possible or not till they actually see it. So I think using those visual cues, and I'm sure the videos as well, you folks showed that. So I think that's awesome, and I'm not shocked that you won awards at all three of those places. And it's really cool, and I'll definitely have to check those out if I'm in the area.
Yeah, and Mason, I might just add on another thing too, is I mentioned like building on other programs that you're offering. So one of the things we did with that campaign too was we've run a program called the Pitch It Business Competition for years. I think this is our 13th year. A lot of people are probably familiar with Win This Space. It's something very similar to that, except we don't give away spaces. You get all kinds of other cash and prizes. But we kind of paired up the Pitch It competition with the tour of the town and all the marketing promotions around the business stuff. And last year we had 13 participants, which is the most we've ever had. We ended up with 10 finalists. It was an amazing year for people that were really looking to start a new business here or grow an existing business. So again, just like taking things that are old, revamping, bringing them back, or just like tying it all together as part of a bigger campaign, we found a lot of success doing that. So I forgot to mention that.
Oh, that's amazing. And I think, as you mentioned, kind of after COVID, going back to some of those tried, tested, and true ideas that were working back in the day, and then things were good, so you didn't need them. And then, hey, things change, communities change, things happen around the world, and going back and bringing those back up and connecting with some of the new stuff as well. I think that's a wonderful idea, a very holistic approach to economic development. And I think Minto makes it happen. And you guys are making a lot of cool stuff happen, and that's great. And I think with that, we always hear when we go to conferences and different things, we hear a lot about success stories and such. And I'm curious, especially being from a rural community, if you've faced any unique challenges, being in a rural area. And if there's, key obstacles maybe you've overcome, or how did you maybe take some of those obstacles and turn those into an opportunity for growth? I know you mentioned about funding already, and bringing groups together and going together on a project and such. And I think that's a really good example as well.
Yeah, I feel like there's like so many like things that are like, doesn't matter if you're from a small town or a big city, people face in economic development very similar challenges, just at maybe different scales. So I know for us, like one of our biggest challenges has and continues to be absentee property owners or property owners who just don't care about their properties. So one of the things that we had success with, like I said before, we got to a point where the only spaces left that were vacant in our downtowns were bad properties. They had been left uncared for, they were in bad shape. So we had implemented, and like thanks to like the data that we collect over time and the support of like community groups and residents and businesses all kind of going in the same direction, it really culminated in creating this structural grant through our CIP Community Improvement Plan program. And it was a matching grant up to what could be $40,000. So it was a significant program, and people could apply for one like year over year. So if they were doing a lengthy project that required a lot of changes to the building, it could take several years and they could get 40,000 per year. So thanks to that program, we did see significant changes in the properties. And not that the existing people did them, but outsiders kind of got word and then were able to purchase those buildings and make the investments and utilize our funds to do that. A great story in Harrison, we had that old post building sitting there vacant, falling apart. We had local people actually reach out. They were interested in creating a community hub out of that space, but really needed to have some incentives from the community to make it happen. And because of our structural grant program, they were able to access quite a bit of funding to totally gut and revitalize the building. And today it's fully operational. It houses one, soon to be two, escape rooms that are 5-star rated. It houses our Launch It Business Exploration Center, Maze Cafe. Our John Nader MPP is located there. So that's just like one example of how like this like grant made such a big difference. But it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have had the data and the photos and the community support for us to like put tax dollars towards incentivizing these types of things. And the same thing in like Palmerston, we had like a whole block basically undergo transformation and create housing that never had housing before and now is able to have businesses operating out of there when it was all totally vacant before. So I know people across the board face absentee landowner issues and challenges with that, but that was one way that we were able to overcome and make a difference there.
That's incredible. And I think that's a big thing we see in a lot of communities is, sometimes there are those eyesores where everyone's, complaining that that building's been empty for, 10 years or 20 years, and it just is not looked after. And I think this is a good opportunity for folks who are listening to say, hey, if that's something that's going on in your community and you don't have a program like that, maybe it's something to explore because it can make a substantial difference. I know
Yeah,
back
for
when I was
sure.
on a council in Orillia, we had a similar program, and we did a lot for the downtown specifically. And there was quite a few places like that. I remember there was one from when I was a kid, and it had been empty since then. And it was just right in the middle of the downtown. And you would think that it's like prime real estate; there'd be something there, but there just wasn't because the landlord was someone in Toronto, and they just we'd reached out to them multiple times and just didn't want to sell, didn't care, just was keeping it. And then eventually, through the right people getting involved in the program, they were able to get that off the ground. And now it's an incredible place. I'm actually going there tonight for a business after five, so I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it's funny how it just takes that that vision and that opportunity to say, hey, let's do something about this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's like so interesting how sometimes the stars align for things to come to fruition. And still, like, that's not going to solve all the problems with vacancy property owners, but it did, in our case, make a difference for sure.
Absolutely. And I know you know a lot about Minto, but I know that you've also just come off of your presidency at the EDCO, and obviously you've met lots of folks across Ontario and elsewhere. And I was just curious if you could maybe share a bit of how that was. How was it being the president of EDCO? How has it shaped your approach when you take that information back to what you're doing now with in Minto, and how do you kind of bridge those two things? You've been involved with this massive association, meeting folks all over, and you're also working in a smaller rural community. I was just wondering if you could tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's funny when you mention EDCO, it puts a smile on my face. So I have been involved with EDCO since my very early days of getting involved in economic development. And it is one of the things I would always encourage anyone to do is get not just become a member, but get involved with the association. I have met so many people from across the province, even before I became president or involved on the board, that are just so inspiring. And the work that people are doing is so awesome. And yeah, there's just, I can't say enough good things about EDCO and getting involved with that. But being president was truly a highlight of my career. I had a colleague of mine in Wellington North, Dale Small, who had been encouraging me for years to run for the board. And I kept saying, nope, I got to wait till my daughter goes to school. I wanted to do it at the right time. And thanks to like the trust in me and my fellow board members, allowing me the opportunity to go through the board and then to become president really was a highlight. I had the opportunity to attend an inter-provincial territorial session in federal provincial and territorial session in Niagara on the Lake last year. So that was pretty cool. Minister Thompson was leading it. I got the opportunity to sit at the table with all these key people and share the story of Minto and some of the work that we had been doing. And if I hadn't been president of EDCO, I never would have had that opportunity to share Minto's story at a much higher level. I had the opportunity to travel out to Edmonton for the EDAC conference, and I went to Colorado for the IEDC conference and sat at the table with Nathan Olley, the president of IEDC there. And it was really cool to be able to bring the EDCO and the provincial story to them and explain some of the challenges that our members face joining their organization or being able to take those courses and getting your certification with the exchange rate and the content being very American. And I think we've made some headways there. We're looking forward to seeing some Canadian rates for training and conferences, as well as Canadian content, which is, I think, really cool. So, and just like going to all the regional events across Ontario and hearing the success stories from our members and the different things going on. There's just a lot of great stuff happening at EDCO right now. And the board is also working on a new strategic plan. So, if any of the members or future potential members are listening, I would encourage anyone to get involved in that process and have your voice heard of what EDCO can do for you and your community going forward. It really is a great organization. I can't say enough about it. So.
That's wonderful, and I can tell you that I have not had all those experiences that you've had, and that's incredible that you've done all that. But when I was at the EDCO conference, I think it was earlier this year, what an incredible experience. As somebody who's been to a lot of government events and conferences over the years, that one was very special, I gotta say, in the excitement there. Kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, but the art of the possible and people saying, hey, here's things we can do in our communities and work together and make big solutions. I think it's just phenomenal. So it's definitely was a very welcoming spot, and especially somebody who doesn't kind of come from that field, I felt extremely welcomed at
Yeah,
the
for sure.
conference. And so just wanted to mention that and definitely appreciate your time.
Yeah, for sure, Mason. It's like a big family. And one of the great things with EDCO and economic development professionals is like their willingness to share and help each other out. It's not like R&D, like rob and duplicate, is like fully embraced. And Everyone just wants their community and others to be successful. And as they say, all tides raise all ships or whatever the saying is. But yeah, just everyone is so welcoming, and everyone wants to see everybody succeed. It's a great organization, great conference, always a highlight of the year.
Awesome. Just jumping back a little bit, I know you mentioned IEDC. I was just curious when you've been out there and when you were at that conference, do you find that on the international side that there's a lot of the same issues and ideas that are getting discussed, or were you like, hey, holy, like this is something where like we don't really talk about in Canada?
No, that's it. I kind of mentioned at the beginning, it like doesn't matter how big or small you are, you have the same issues, just maybe different levels of them. It was the same when we went to Colorado and even in Edmonton. Like, it doesn't seem to matter where you are, you're facing the same challenges. What's different is some of the like policies around how places are trying to combat the issues, especially the differences in Canada and the US. But it is, you always take nuggets of like new ideas and new approaches, or like, how can I take that snippet of an idea and like revive it or change it up for our what might work in our community? So it's all, no matter where you are, you always find something that you can take away.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I know we've talked about a lot about relationships today, and I had one specifically. I know we had chatted a bit about this before, but it was in regards to Saugeen Connects. And for folks who are not familiar, I've got their mission statement up here, and their mission is to collaborate and positively impact area economic growth, support youth retention and development, support growth and retention of businesses, and integrate efforts to leverage immigrant attraction to the area as residents, workers, entrepreneurs, business owners, operators, and investors. And I know that you mentioned you had a friend of yours who has since passed developed the SSUP program, the Summer Student Startup Program, which this group has now taken on. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about your friend, the excellent program that they created, and how it's doing today.
Yeah, so I had mentioned about Robin duplicating. Many years ago, a friend of mine, Jerry from Norfolk County, had started this amazing summer student startup program, and they had won an award at the EDCO conference, and I just thought it was the coolest concept. And I had to learn more. So I went to Norfolk County and followed Jerry around as he went into the schools promoting the program. And the energy and excitement he showed for entrepreneurship and the youth engagement was just really inspirational. So I brought it back and thought, we can do this on a bigger scale and be more impactful than just doing it in Minto. We can do this as our Saugeen Connects partnership, which at the time had around six partners, which is what we have now. And it was great. We have had so many students participate in this program. It is for grades 6 to 12, and they're given so much startup funding at the beginning. We host virtual online webinars that they can participate in on how to run their business, whether it's like finances, using Canva, how to set up their booths at the little trade shows and markets, customer service, etc. And for each of those they attend, they can get $25. And if they attend all of them, they get a bonus $25. And at the end, they submit a final report, post on social media, and they get another $150. So at the end of the summer, they could get $450, as well as a wealth of experience in training and introduction to entrepreneurship. So it's just a really great program. It's near and dear to my heart. As you mentioned, Mason, Jerry did pass away a few years ago, but we're so thrilled to be able to carry on this legacy and to see other communities taking on the Summer Student Startup Program as well. It's so exciting to see the youth and the ideas and the creativity they come up with and some of the collaborations they're doing together. It is absolutely one of my favorite programs. So thanks for mentioning it.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. I think it's pretty clear from your passion and chatting about Jerry and his passion in the classroom and getting young people involved that you've really carried that forward, and I think that's very special. And supporting youth and getting them involved and teaching them skills. Even I know you mentioned one of them in particular, like how to set up a booth. Like I can't count how many trade shows I've been to where you go past a booth and the people are just sitting there and not engaging with anybody. And so little skills like, hey, like here's how you attract people to actually come and talk to you or give you an opportunity to discuss some of these ideas, I think are super important. And the fact that you're offering incentives for them to learn that, I think is even better because it definitely makes it a lot more successful, especially with the young folks.
Money definitely entices the kids too, so
Yeah, that's for sure. We've got an 18-year-old, and it definitely helps with things, and especially in today's society with everything going on around the world and being more expensive, I'm sure it definitely helps out as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So no, I know we've talked about a lot of specific programs and such, and I was just hoping we could get maybe a bit more general. I know you've done a ton with Edco and getting around, and that's how we met because we met in Midland there when you folks were running a regional event. And so I know you do a lot with new economic developers or people getting into the space. I was just curious for folks who are listening, if there's somebody who's new, looking at getting in the field of economic development, whether it's in a rural area or a small urban setting, or even in a big city, if there's any advice that you would give them, and if there's some, small piece of advice, maybe a specific thing that you think would make a really lasting impact in their career.
So a few kind of key pieces of advice that I give my young staff when they come on, and I've hinted at some of them already, but definitely become a member of EDCO. You're connected to a wealth of resources and people and training, and it really is like key. If you have an issue, you have people you can call on. The other thing I would always encourage anyone to look into is the University of Waterloo and the EDAC year one, year two programs and getting your certification. Again, through that program, I have been able to build lifelong friendships with fellow economic development officers. They're always there no matter what you need. You have people that you can call on and get advice and support from. That has been really huge, as well. So, like, those would be like the two of the things I would say for sure is connecting with EDAC and the University of Waterloo program, becoming a member of EDCO and becoming an engaged member. And those would be my two pieces of advice. And just like network, 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 any chance you get.
Awesome. I think that's a great one. And honestly, just even outside of economic development, people just networking in the field that they're in, I think is so vital. And getting involved with an association like EDCO and learning. And the nice thing I just want to highlight, as you say, be engaged. It's one thing to have a membership at a gym, but if you don't go to the gym, it's like, what's the point? It's the same with, an association. It's great to be a member, but if you want to actually get that workout or get those positive things out of it, you need to actually go and be engaged, whether that's through online forums that happen or whether that's with EDCO in person and mentorship programs and things like that. I think there's so many opportunities that you folks have there, and it's really important to get engaged and get involved with the process.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And so I've got one more question for you, not from myself, but I know each time we do the podcast, we do a kind of a closing mystery question. And then once we're done, I'm going to get your question for the next person, just because we don't want
I'm
any
nervous.
spoilers right now. But this question is, usually people ask about what they would say to their younger self. But the question today is, if you could give yourself one piece of advice for now, what would that advice be?
That's a good question. I would think a good piece of advice for right now in this moment would be something around the lines of like, although like work is very important and the work you are doing is very important, it's also important to take the time to care for yourself. It's easy to get tied up in the busyness and of everything that has to get done. But if you're also not taking care of yourself, mentally and physically, you're not going to be able to sustain yourself to solve all these problems and address what's down the road. So yeah, just make sure you have balance. Take time when you need the time. Get your exercise, eat healthy, all those good things, I think, is a good message for anyone to hear at any time.
No, I think that's great. And when I read that question, I thought about, well, I'm curious what you would say to your younger self. Would you give them that advice? Because that sounds like some pretty good advice, as you mentioned, at any time in our lives.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's easy to get wrapped up in all the great work that you're doing and the things that have to get solved, and everything seems urgent, needs to be done now. But life is short, and yeah, I think I've lost a few friends. I'm o not that old in the past few years, and
Sorry to hear that.
yeah, thank you. And I think it has really made me reflect on, like, your job is not everything, and although it's an important job, there's still other people and yourself that you want to have a fulsome life and be here to be around longer and support your other people outside of work, but also your work people too. So
I
yeah.
love that. I think that is some great wisdom that you've shared there. And I just want to say thank you so much, Bunda. Really appreciate that answer, but also the rest of the answers today. It was quite a pleasure to have you, and I know I've seen you speak on stage a few times, and to be able to get this one-on-one time with you has definitely made my day. And I just wanted to say thanks so much.
Thank you so much for the offer, Mason, and good luck with the podcast.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. When I'm out and about, whether I'm, biking or walking or driving, I love listening to podcasts. So it really is special to me that you took the time to tune into Hyperlocal today and listen to our podcast. I want to make sure we're able to give you the best content possible in the future, get the speakers you want, talk about the topics you want, and really make a difference in your community. We want to focus on those little things. And a big thing to help us do that would be if you could take this opportunity to make sure that you're following the channel. If you want, feel free to turn on the notifications and we can make sure you get notified on the next episode. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for caring about economic development and caring about your community. And keep up the good work. You're not alone out there.